in Colombia. Now, we left Australia, and in December 1984, we spent a few days in the United States, and there we visited the assemblies in Long Beach, California, and also another assembly there called the City. And we're thankful to the Lord's people there for their fellowship, and it was wonderful there, just a little bit of home. As we passed through, Mr. Philip Harding from the UK was having special meetings in Culver City, and it was wonderful just to sit down and speak with him, because just a few months previously he'd been in our home. So that was just a nice little extra along the way. We arrived in Colombia on the 12th of December, 84, and with very mixed feelings as we arrived. You know, one of the things that you go thinking just as you go arriving and as you get near to the city of Bogota is, I wonder if Len is going to be there to meet us. Our brother Len Walker and his wife Nerida, they had promised to meet us, but just say something had happened and they weren't there. And just to be thrown into a strange country and a strange language and just everything different. But we're thankful that as we came down the steps into the customs area, that there was Len walking around, and when we met him, he said, "It's good to see you. Give us one of your bags." He said, "I'm not supposed to be in here." But he'd been able to get in, and he was there to help us through customs. And then we moved outside. Well, first impressions of a country. And if you want to know our first impressions of Colombia, it was horns sounding, whistles blowing, and people everywhere. There we were standing outside of the airport building. A Colombian brother had also gone with Len and Nerida to meet us. And we made a circle around about our equipment, because it's just so easy, so many people, just for things to go missing. And even while we were there, a lady came up to us looking for one of her suitcases that had been stolen just in those few moments. So there we were, standing around, and then Len arrived with the vehicle, a long wheelbase Toyotas. And if you could just see us, our first car ride in Colombia. There we were, there were 9 of us in the vehicle. There were 12 big ports, and there were 7 small handbags, travel cases, and there were other odds and ends, and we're all fitted into there to that vehicle. Well, we didn't worry. We were just so happy to have arrived and to be in the place where the Lord had called us to serve Him. We had a trip of about half an hour to the home of one of the believers there, and because the homes in Colombia are a lot smaller than Australia, our first night in Colombia, we were separated. Ruth and the 2 girls and Nerida were in the home of this believer and his wife, and Len and I and the 2 boys, we went to one of the halls of one of the assemblies there. Well, you know, we were just so happy to be there and just so much to talk about. And, they say women talk more than men. And Ruth and Nerida didn't really need their beds that night because they never got to sleep. But Len and I, we managed to get a few hours sleep before we set sail the next day. Now, the 4 of us, we were just packed in, the men, we were packed into one small room. There was one bed in the room, about 3-quarter size. Len and I had just a little fight, and I won, and Len slept in the bed with one of the boys, and I slept on the floor on a mattress with the other one. Now, Colombians are shorter than Australians, and of course that meant that the feet hung over the end of the mattress. But that didn't matter. We were there, and that was all we were worried about. All right, 6 o'clock the next morning, we picked up the women folk, and we did the 6-hour trip to Manizales, to where Len and Nerida live. And a lot of that is going around mountain bends, but we were just so excited seeing new things there. Look at that donkey and cart over there, and look at that meat hanging up there, and look at something else there. And so the time passed very quickly. And we arrived there, and we're very thankful to the Lord for Len and Nerida and for their care over us. Because when you arrive in a strange country and you just can't speak a word, you can't understand a word of what anyone's saying, you're just like a helpless child. And we're thankful to the Lord for their care and for their help to us during those early days. Now, we'd only been there a couple of days, and Len and Alan and myself, we left on a trip to go to the north of the country to visit the assemblies where we were exercised about working. And so that's about a 12-14 hour journey to the north to visit the three assemblies. And then we also went from there right over towards the Panama coast where there was another work that was being done. Well, it was a real eye-opener to me just to see how the other half live and just to see where we were going to be working. And one remembers the believers there, and all the time they're just watching and just saying, well, you know, this is the fellow that we've got that's coming here as a missionary. What have we got? And so it was, but we were very pleased to be able to visit them. Well, I was pleased to be able to visit them. But before we could go to that area to work, because there's no other English-speaking missionaries, in that part we had to learn the language. And so soon after Christmas we started 6 months of language study with a university student. She came to the home every day, the 5 days of the week, for 3 hours a day, and gave us lessons in the home, which we followed with 3 hours of written homework, and then we followed that with visiting or meetings, attending meetings to try and learn a little bit more of the language. Now, we appreciate all those that prayed for us during those trying months. And they are very trying months trying to learn a language. We can remember times of frustration, remember times of tears as we were there and trying to learn and just not getting nowhere. That's the way it seemed. But the Lord had given us a promise before we left. Remember when Moses, and I mentioned this here before we left, Moses, when the Lord called him, he said, "Oh my Lord, I'm not an eloquent man. I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." The Lord said unto him, "Who hath made man's mouth? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say." And that was a promise that God gave to us, and he fulfilled his promise. And so, after the 6 months, we then spent another short time. And in total, after 9 months, after arriving in the country, we went to Sincelejo, the area of our exercise in the north of the country. Now, it's situated, there's a map on the other side of the, just as you come in, and you'll see it there if you trace across from Panama, across towards Venezuela, and about halfway there you'll see a little arrow marking Sincelejo. It's a center of a grazing area, and a city of about 187,000 people, although it's not spread over a great area. The Colombians all live fairly close together, and all the houses built one on top of the other. It's about 213 degrees above above sea level, and has an average temperature of about 27 degrees Celsius. There's only two climates there, two seasons, that's summer and winter. Summer's when it's dry and winter's when it's raining. And even during winter the temperature doesn't drop very much, but what saves us there is that in the afternoon we get a sea breeze that comes in. We're only about 3/4 of an hour from the Caribbean Sea, and so that reduces the temperature and makes it a little bit bearable to be there in that place. So we shifted to that place, and we were just like people thrown to the lions. We just had to fend for ourselves and learn through our mistakes, and the believers were very good to us. Now the work there in Sincelejo commenced through a lady from Barranquilla, another city nearby, and she went to Venezuela to visit friends. And while she was there, a sister that was about 85 years of age invited this lady to go along to special gospel meetings that were being held by Mr. William Williams there in Venezuela. Because of the testimony of this aged sister, this lady went along to the meetings, and she returned and she was saved. While she was in Venezuela, she had her visa extended and she was baptized before returning to Colombia. When she arrived back in Colombia, her sister said to her, "Zoila, what's happened to you?" And Zoila said, "The old Zoila that went to Venezuela died there. There's a new Zoila that has returned." And that is a living testimony to this dear sister. And as she returned to Colombia, she came, as the Lord told one of old, to go home and tell what great things the Lord has done for thee. And so as she moved back and she moved amongst her relations and amongst her friends, she was giving away gospel tracts and loaning a Bible here and speaking a word there for the Lord. And one by one, different members of her family and of her friends got saved. And so, over a period of 9 years, she continued that work. And with the help of brethren from Venezuela and our brother Neil Thompson and his wife, they visited a lot during those early days. And they'd go across for perhaps a month to help in the preaching of the gospel and the teaching of the believers. As there were a few there that started to get saved, they started to look around for somewhere to meet. And so they went to the one place, and they went to another place, and they went to another place, and Doña Zoila could never find what she had learnt there in Venezuela. And so she arrived at the conclusion that she should just meet with the few believers, simply in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then with the visits from the Venezuelan brethren and our brother Neil, over a period of 9 years, as we've said, there was an assembly established there in Sincelejo. So the assembly there has been functioning for nearly 22 years. But being all new believers and not having anything of assembly background or even anything of a Christian background as far as that's concerned, because the majority of the people in Colombia are of Catholic religion, there were always lots of little problems that were cropping up in the assembly. Now, when we arrived in 1985 there in the north, there was a company of perhaps 25 to 30 believers there in fellowship. And it was just wonderful to us how they received us. And ever since that time we've continued, and we live in that area, and we use that centre as a centre for our works, moving out from there to visit the other assemblies in the north and also the different places where the gospel is preached. Now, in 1970, there was something happened that was going to completely change the, and for the good of the work of the Lord in the north of Colombia. There was a man there, and his wife was a believer, but not with the assembly, and this man was a cousin of one of the sisters in fellowship. And on the occasion of a funeral, he heard something of the gospel. And of course, his wife too was telling him about salvation. But he wasn't interested at all in the gospel. But on one occasion there, on the beginning in January in 1980, this man was with a lot of his brothers and with thousands of other people there in Sincelejo, in the bullfighting there. And there had been a lot of rain, and the bullfighting in that time, they had a temporary bull ring that was made out of round timber, and three levels of seating going up. And this man was there, and during the afternoon, the bull ring collapsed, or part of it. And this man was trapped underneath the timber. In his attempt to flee from the timber, he fell, and part of the timber fell on top of him. Now, as he was there in nearly an unconscious position, he remembered a verse of scripture that he'd heard in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. And so there, in the mud and with the timber stacked on top of him, he just received the Lord as his Saviour. Now, he was taken to hospital, and the believers from the assembly, they visited him and also in the home. And when he was well enough, he said, we're going to go to the assembly. And immediately they opened their home for the preaching of the gospel.